I am privileged to be able to come up here with our family together and enjoying blessing the Lord, singing to Him, praying to Him, giving to Him. And now time's going to be for some of the Word. And so why don't we go ahead and open our Bibles. We want to grab hold of Psalm 92, right before the Psalm that we had read a little earlier. And Psalm 92, and we will go ahead and grab that and read that in a minute. I had a statement here I wrote before I was preparing this, and it's just, it's a sentence fragment, so all you, you know, literature people out there, don't, like, come at me. Listen to this. The focus on problems without the understanding there are solutions. The focus on problems without the understanding there are solutions. What comes to mind? Comes to mind. The focusing on problems without the understanding there are solutions. Math people come to an understanding. If I didn't know how to do these formulas, if I didn't know how to maybe be taught those calculations, how do I figure the problem out? No solutions. I was thinking our family likes to do puzzles. And how many of you like to do puzzles? Puzzle people, you would like to do puzzles? Amen. I can stand about 5 minutes of puzzles, and then I like to watch my kids do puzzles. Freedom, they didn't love it. I like it for a moment. But who likes the 1,000-piece puzzles? You know, those real big ones. Amen. Some of you. Okay. Remember, the focus on problems without understanding there are solutions. 1,000-piece puzzles have solutions, but what if there was no picture completed that you can go by? Makes it a little difficult. 1,000 pieces with no idea what the pieces actually should look like. I could get the border maybe and get a few edges filled in. I don't know about that. Let's go one more further. What about 1,000 pieces with no picture and all the pieces are black? Ooh. Ooh. No hope, Pastor. Forget about it. I hate to say this, but outside of Jesus Christ, our culture is like that. Our culture is like that. Lots of problems, but no understanding of what the solutions are. And we've been so programmed to hopelessness and negativity that loved ones outside of Jesus Christ, outside of the light that you have, people are paralyzed. Look at the signs as you drive down the street. This will make you happy. Buy this product, enter into this store, and I will get you what you need to fill the void. It's happening young and old, ups and downs for people who are wonderfully powerful and successful to people who are not. For some people, we move on and we hear about what the year was like. Hopelessness for some. And it's easy to remember all the horror stories. I can bring those back, they say. I got what the problems were because I still carry them. But it gets to be a little more difficult for them to remember the good things. The good things. Some people can't remember the prayers God has answered in the church world. They're focusing themselves outside of the light of Jesus. But they remember the prayers He hasn't answered because they're still carrying them. I was reminded as I was in this Old Testament book of the Psalms of Israel. Israel was like that. Israel was like that. Year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation, they did not listen to God. Finally, after their captivity by Babylon and Assyria, which we talked about this morning, here comes Ezra and Haggai and Zechariah, these prophets that you may not understand. They came after the captivity and they started preaching again. They started bringing the hope again. Ezra saying, come on, it's time to go back. And something changed. Something changed from the hopelessness and the despair of no solution for our problem. They started hearing the words of God again. And the attitude within the body of Israel began to change. And they realized how they were to live before the Almighty God who created them to be more than conquerors. Let's see what God's words are about what that attitude really was And I think we can grasp a good amount of that attitude in Psalm 92. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I'm going to read the first five verses. I believe that's going to give us the gist of the body of the attitude that we are going after today. Follow along with me. Psalm 92, verse 1. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work, and I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep." I want to talk about you to you today about living in thankfulness. Living in thankfulness, we're going to talk about this understanding of an attitude that changes people from hopeless to hopeful. From an understanding of it's dark to there's something else for me. And I want you to take home that blessing of receiving from the Lord today. Let's pray. Father God, how awesome you are to give us the words of encouragement in a world that is full of despair and darkness. But we are children of the Most High God, and we want to proclaim to you that we accept what you have for us. And we want to come into our callings, and we want to accept the truths and the promises that you have. Scripture says they are yes and amen, and I want to believe that today. And for those who don't believe, I want to raise them up to begin a belief in the one Most High God. Lord, meet us today, wherever everyone is, it doesn't matter. The ones who are here are ordained by you to hear this very message. Maybe they hear your words today and not mine. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, living in thankfulness, living a thankful life, thankful living. It's all the same to me. Sometimes it takes people a while to figure out that the things they want to thank God for, what they want to be thankful for, they take time to get there. We've had a blessing jar out there for a few weeks now, and I haven't looked into it. I'm wondering if maybe you've put some things there. Some people, it may be hard to think of a couple few things. I've given people, we do discipleship work, and we growing people. I want you to go home, and over the next week, I want 100 things you are thankful for. 100 things. It may start off slow, loved ones, but if you have the Spirit of God, which I believe a lot of you do, you will then all of a sudden get on a flow. You get past the understanding of, I don't think I can, to, I can't stop thanking Him. What an awesome understanding. And that's what the psalm begins with, and this is the first point. Go ahead and write this down if you're taking notes. It is good to thank God. It is good to give thanks to God. Giving thanks and praising God go hand in hand. It's what the verse is talking about. Look at there, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High. James 1:17 says, I don't know if I got this verse. James 1:17 says, all good things come from God, the Father of lights. It is Him that gives all good things. And because of that, it's pleasant to praise Him. It's excellent to thank Him. It's delightful to speak the truths of who He is. And it's beneficial for you health-wise, economically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Can I go on and on? For you to live in thankful praise. To acknowledge the attributes of God's works. And it is because of His power and His works that we believers lift our voices to sing to this wonderful God who created us and gave us the voice to do it. You ever thank Him for the voice you had this morning? You know, some people don't have the ear to hear that voice sometimes. You thank Him for the ear you had this morning to hear. For some, it may be a little hard to see, but you still were able to see the words up there to praise to Him. Wow. Those are just a few things we can live in consistent praise, singing praise of thanksgiving, singing praises of adoration, singing praises of joy. Joy is very important, loved ones. Joy is very important. Serving God without joy leads to dire circumstances. Sometimes you come into these services and you're heavy-hearted, and something touches you in the song service or in the prayer time, even in the giving time, because that's an act of worship. Or the word speaks to you and the heavy-heartedness begins to rise and joy begins to sprout out of that crusty earth of our hearts. Anyone ever feel that at times when God begins to work on you, trudging into church, but I want to hear and I want to praise and I want to thank Him today with the congregation I worship with? That's a wonderful blessing. Why is joy so important, Bill? Why is that a dire consequence without joy? Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. This is a hard one. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, you shall serve your enemies. Whew. That's a hard one, everybody. That's a hard one. The stinking thinking can lead to some slavery in your soul. And God warns us about that. You don't want to serve your enemies. Be joyful. Even if it's hard, even if it's rough, you drag yourself in and you lay down at the foot of the cross and you say, Jesus, resurrect me again. I want the resurrected life today, God. I surrender it all to you. You know, the devil loves to play games. He loves to come at you with the games of old. And the truth is, the devil's goal doesn't have to be get you to attend some satanic mass and to attend the satanic church. Do you understand? He does not have to do that to get you away from God. All he needs to do is get your heart to be ungrateful. Get a little bitterness in your heart. Get a little unloving hatred in your heart. And plant that seed, and they can whisper at you all the days of the week. All the days of the week. You don't like that. Look what they did to you. They're not going to get away from that. Loved ones, joy is a deterrent of hateful, bitter thinking. To lose your joy and gladness and thankfulness is not a pathway you want to contain and go down. Thankfulness is a major highway to the destination of joy and blessings. When I come in and I start looking around at all that I have to be thankful, all that is heavy on me, all the problems that are on me begin to slough off. And joy and blessings and the words of the Lord begin to flow. And thanking God must become a way of life because of who He is, not because of your circumstance at this moment. In spite of your circumstance in the moment, joy rises up out of you. There's one that's responsible, and that's the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit today. Are you needing more of Him today? The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is a continuing, ongoing filling. It's not a once I done did that and I'm full, I'm good. Because life isn't like that, right? Life likes to poke holes in our cistern of Holy Spirit life. And we come down and we realize the holes are getting loosed out and the Holy Spirit's being out of bitterness or anger or unthankfulness, ungratefulness. And something stirs in us, a song, a word, a praise. And I go, I want to get down in that cistern. I want to patch up those holes. And God, fill me. Who wants to be filled again this morning by the Holy Spirit? Begin to pray, God, give that to me. I want that. I'm heading into a thankful season. It's not a season I want as a period of time. I want it to be a lifestyle forevermore. God, I want a grateful heart. Do you know He answers prayers like that? Do you know that's the will of God? That's the way He wants His children to live? What a blessing. Thanking God becomes a way of life, and it's continuous, and it's to doing it and asking and crying out. You know, the psalm then begins to instruct us on how to live a thankful praise life. Look there in verse 2. To declare your loving kindness in the morning. That loving kindness, we all know that word on Wednesdays. Mercy. Mercy. It's a sed. It's that Hebrew word of the completion of all the love of God given to you freely. His loving kindness. So here it is, the timing. The timing that we learn to instruct ourselves and to grow ourselves and to allow God to change us with thankful praise, it begins in the morning. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't like that time. Not the morning. I can't do that. Anyone are not morning people here? Come on, a few of you. I got a couple. Amen. That's okay. I want to speak to this. Just listen. Why the morning? I want to get the picture as more of it's not an obedient command, it's a picture. Why the morning? His mercies are new each day. His mercies are new each day. I believe the morning is the best time to spend with God. It's fresh. It always has a sense of hope. There's opportunities that abound. You go to bed with whatever it is that's dragging you along. you wake up and that new day, that new bird singing, that new sun arising, that new hours ahead of you, brings hope, doesn't it? It gives you an idea of there's something out there that may be the solution that God has that I want to enter into. But I know it's not easy for everybody. It's not easy always in the morning. But there's a second best time of the day to praise God and to worship on Him. Any other time, all right? That's the other best time. And the psalmist points out another time with meeting with God, and I want to give you the picture of this, verse 2, at the rest of it, and your faithfulness every night. This is a picture of darkness. It's a picture of despair. It's a picture of treachery. Man, Bill, really? This is just the picture he's giving. It's the time that we need to be reminded most of His faithfulness. It's at the nighttime when all that we hoped to happen didn't happen. And now, with the mercy and the loving kindness that was given to us, we now need to remember His faithfulness through the nighttime. It's a spiritual nighttime, loved ones. It's the dark time of your life where you are not seeing Him show up after week 1. Year 14, as we talked about last week, year 38. And you don't know when He's going to show up, and you don't know who's around the corner at what time. But His faithfulness is what I declare in that nighttime. Is anybody on board like that? Does anybody understand what He's speaking there? God's truly unfailing. It is certain that He is there. He is like the strong arms of a parent that hold a helpless baby. They won't let go. They will never let you go. His arms are around you. In fact, in one of the Psalms just above it, I was reading through this, and mind is skipping. His wings and His feathers wrap around you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like a bird, a mother bird brooding its hens. God doesn't have wings, but it's the picture of who He is as the perfect God. So understanding night to be that, His unfailing faithfulness gets you through the storms of night. Praising Him in the morning, praising Him in the night. Verse 3, it tells us what we can do to praise Him. What actions, activities should I be doing? Well, it's very clear there. What's He talking about? On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound. Music. Music. Now, I'm all about music, and I don't judge people on the way they worship in different ways of music. But I'll tell you what, there are certain people that say we don't use musical instruments in our church. And I don't fault them, I don't have a problem, but they say it's biblical. And I have a problem with that because, I don't know, the lute and the lyre and the harp seem to be musical instruments. And so that's why we use musical instruments. We praise Him with the harmonious sounds of music. And music is a universal language. Except for a few people maybe out there, really everybody loves to sing and listen to and play music. And as a Christian, we love to do that to God. We love to sing His praises. We love to sing His promises. We love to sing about when He shows up in those dark times, giving Him glory, to thank God through music. Not only are we blessed, but God loves to be worshiped and adored and praised. This is one thing I had to get over as a young Christian. I didn't understand a God who was so on Himself about, hey, you give that to me, until I realized who God was. And of course He expects it, because it's who He is, and He loves us so much that He allows us to praise Him and worship Him and sing to Him. Come on, can I get an amen? Amen. It is a blessing to sing to the Lord. So it's good for you to give thanks to the Lord. Number 2 here, thanking the Lord makes you glad. Thanking the Lord makes you glad. Here it is, verse 4. I really was studying for this. This isn't easy, but it's an easy one. For You, Lord, have made me glad. See where I got the point? Through Your work, I will triumph in the works of Your hands. That word triumph, some of you have a better translation. I don't like my New King James triumph, although it's part of it. Sing for joy. How about sing for joy? Who has sing for joy in their Bibles? Anybody? I think the ESV has sing for joy. I believe that to be better. Let me read that. For You, Lord, have made me glad through Your work. I will sing for joy in the works of Your hands. You know, there's things you could be glad about. And really, the object of your gladness is going to be of utmost importance. Now listen up. You might be glad for a job. Some of you got a new job recently. I'm really glad for that job. The problem is that job only lasts as long as there's work. It could be quite temporary before you're laid off. What about you're glad for a relationship? I have a new relationship, a best friend or a husband or a wife or a kid or whatever it is. The relationships are beautiful. You could be glad, but life is only temporary. We could be glad for a provision. Praise God, I'm so glad He provided. He provided the healing. He provided the money, whatever it was. But we're broken and we're consumers and things and bodies only last for so long. Or we could be glad because of the Lord and His revealed works in our lives. Anybody up for that one? I'm going to be glad because of God Almighty in my life, in His creation, in His salvation, in His future completion and fulfillment of His promises. There's no end to the ways to live a life of thanksgiving to God. And this truth brings great joy to our lives. Look, I understand struggles. I understand growing in the Lord. I understand people come at different levels. I'm not saying you're all going to grab hold of this and run down to the nearest corner and shout joys to the Lord. But the hardest thing to see is a believer who is encrusted with the sewage of bitterness, despair, and discouragement. God does not want you to live that life. He has given you Jesus Christ. He has given you the Holy Spirit so you can live life abundantly. And sometimes thankful praise is the only answer to the burdens that you are carrying. He knows where you're at. He knows the end of it. He knows how to get you through that. And though the Bible doesn't say it specifically, He will not give you more than you are able to handle. The understanding is there. He is holding you together. And the beauty of it is, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. This time I will use triumph. I will triumph in your works because I want to be a more than conqueror. I want to triumph in you and your ways. You know, God is inexhaustible. You can never get your mind around Him. He is supreme over everything. He is always in control. He is actively seeking to meet the needs of everyone who walks in His way. The problem here for us is sometimes we think this way. We have something to do with meeting our own needs. Sometimes we get into a circumstance. Whew, glad that happened. Whew, that was a good one. Or maybe it's my hard work. I'm glad I pushed through. There's some merit to that. And then there's that other thing called luck. Anybody understand? I do not believe in luck. There's no such thing as luck. God has ordained every moment. It is God who is actively involved in every aspect of supplying your need. Everything, strength, the ability, the mind, the senses to basically captivate Him and capture Him was given by Him. That is an amazing understanding. And then when you begin to believe this and you get through this, it really gets hard not to bless God. It really gets hard not to praise Him. And sometimes we believers, we just don't reflect on His goodness. We only look at the problems. And we got to get our eyes, like I said last week, off the clock. We got to get our eyes off the problems and on Jesus. We get our eyes on Jesus and the hope is abounding and the joy is never ending and the thankfulness begins to flow and you begin to live that life abundantly. And it's when our thankfulness is continuous that we can now see how great God is. Don't let Thanksgiving hearts be a time in November that we grab hold of that truth. Continuously walking through the life step by step that He gives you and being thankful for the little things and the big things, the problems and the trials, the blessings and the provisions. Thank you, God. You have allowed all things. And I want to know why you're allowing it. I never want to take it for myself. I never want to take it for granted. I never want to give anybody else the glory. It perfectly makes you God. And I want nothing else to do in my life but to glorify you. God has great things for you. Great things for you. I believe this is a year coming up here on 2020 for many of you that may be a breakthrough year. I just have a belief. I've been praying that over you all. I've been praying that God meets you as we end up in this Christmas season and whatever blessings that are, and you take off like a rocket for God come January. I want to see blessings upon blessings and tribulations that are run over. I just have this vision of one of those big trucks, you know, monster trucks. I can't get it out right now. Just running over the cars of tribulations in your life, crushing them. And I had this verse for you as we close. It's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, listen, loved one, this is for you. Every eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him today? Are you going to thank him for whatever it is in your life this morning and take that into the afternoon, into the week, into the next year, into glory? Waiting for that? Amen? Praise God. Father God, I just praise you. You are an awesome, awesome God. So Lord, I pray over each heart here that the understanding of walking in continuous thankful praise is the key to a victorious Christian life. So Lord, bless each person here as they enter into this week of Thanksgiving meals and families, and if it's many or little, may they feel the presence of your Holy Spirit upon them. Father, may you bless them with a wonderful understanding of who you are so they can share it with others at the table, and giving a joy that is new and fresh and contagious. We want to be contagious for you, Lord. So we give you all the blessings. We give you all the glory. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. You are loved. May God bless you.